Talk a bit about how big is the threat from cross-contamination to organic producers?
Well, it's a very real threat. I don't have numbers, you know, to quantify the threat, but anytime an organic or other non-GMO producer is growing a crop such as corn that's wind pollinated, that wind can carry the transgenic, the GMO pollen onto the organic farm. If the market tests that and finds that the presence of GMOs in the organic, they can reject that. And certainly if the crop is going to Europe or Japan where there is mandatory labeling of GMOs, then it's going to be rejected, and the organic farmer is going to lose not only that sale, but possibly their whole reputation and opportunities into the future to market crops from their farm as organic.
Now, you touched on some of the things that an organic producer can do to take precautions for that.
Right, right. You know, certainly making sure you're planting organic seed, or if you can't get organic, you can use non-GMO but conventionally grown untreated seed, but getting documentation from your seed supplier that the seed itself you start with, and that's the most critical thing, is non-GMO, is free of transgenic DNA. But then setting up buffers to help minimize the drift of that foreign pollen, making sure all equipment is cleaned out prior to harvest and storage and transport, and working with your neighbors, working with buyers to know what their expectations are. And right now the burden of proof is on the organic farmer to take these steps to protect themselves.
What are some buffers they can do to prevent pollen drift?
Well, planting things like windbreaks, tree lines, you know, those provide a screen that can slow down wind, you know, just kind of like snow. Then the pollen can drop out because it's heavier than the air. So that's some protection, but it's not foolproof. It's not 100%. It takes time for those windbreaks to grow and establish themselves. And if it's a crop that's insect pollinated, like canola is one where it's both wind and insect pollinated, a buffer is not going to stop the bees or the other insects that are carrying that pollen from one field to another. But it's a good thing for organic farmers to do to begin with. Provides wildlife habitat for beneficials, provides a buffer from pesticides, and also can have some helpful impacts for GMO drift as well.
Now, you also touched on liability. There are concerns. Who's liable in the case of a contamination?
Yeah, right. I mean, if your bull gets out and causes harm on my side of the fence, you're liable. It's your bull. If it's your the DNA from a GMO crop that you planted as my neighbor, it's a different situation because you didn't actually own that DNA. That property rights belong to the biotech company. But so if their bull, Monsanto's bull, is causing harm, you'd think that Monsanto, since they still own that DNA, are the ones liable. But this has not been successfully prosecuted so far. And in fact, the opposite has been the case, where Monsanto and other biotech companies have sued farmers for having their DNA present on the neighboring farm, and they're saving seed, and all of a sudden it shows up that they have violated the patent rights of the biotech company through inadvertent contamination. So it's been turned on its head, where the farmer that saved the seed that inadvertently had foreign, you know, GMOs in it has violated Monsanto's patent. I think this is something that needs a whole lot further exploration and is being discussed by USDA. There's an advisory committee looking into contamination and compensation and establishing a nationwide fund or some kind of insurance premiums that where it's the compensation fund is paid by the biotech patent holders, so that when someone suffers harm, there's somewhere to go to collect damages. But that does not exist right now.
And there is a difference between herbicide resistance as opposed to BT technology.
Right, exactly. There's the kind of Roundup Ready, the herbicide resistant crops that can be sprayed with multiple applications of the herbicide and the crop will still survive. Well, that's led to dramatic increases in the application of these herbicides. It's also led to the development of numerous species of weeds that are resistant to these herbicides, and now the development of additional herbicide resistant crops that can be sprayed not just with Roundup but also with 2,4-D or possibly dicamba in the future. So more application of more toxic herbicides to the environment and getting in the food supply. With the BT corn and other BT crops, there the toxic genes from a soil bacterium have been inserted into the crop and are in every cell of that plant 24/7 and persist in the soil, persist in the aquatic environment, are toxic to caddisfly larvae in the aquatic environment, and are registered with EPA as a pesticide. And it is possible that state pesticide trespass statutes may apply when that pesticide is found on an organic or other non-GMO farm.
If people would like more information, how do they get a hold of you at the university?
Well, my email is probably the best way to contact me. It's RIDDL003@umn.edu.